السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. نحمده ونصلی علی رسوله الکریم، اما بعد، فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم، بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. رب اشرح لی صدری ویسر لی امری واحلل عقدۃ من لسانی یفقہوا قولی ربنا زدنا علما. So today inshallah we will have our last عقیدہ class, and there's still a lot to cover, because once you go into the detail of this, really you don't want to stop it, because especially when it comes to belief in akhirah, it is something that every one of us is going to see. Everyone is going to go through. This is a journey that is inevitable. And for anything that is certain, you want to be as prepared as possible. And the first step to preparation is awareness. And alhamdulillah, we do learn about al-akhirah from the Qur'an, from the sunnah a lot. But it's also important that you learn about the exact sequence of events as to what exactly is going to happen, so that we can have a better idea, inshallah. So basically today, inshallah, we're going to complete the section on the Ashratu Sa'ah, and I'm going to briefly go over the major events of the Day of Judgment. And inshallah, if you want to know the details, then there's two options you have. The first option is that inshallah, this weekend and the following weekend is the Rays of Faith class taught by Sheikh Waleed Basyuni. I've taken that course myself, one of the best courses that I've ever taken. Because the way he goes through everything, and especially the Day of Judgment, you literally feel as though you are in it already. If you are able to, please go ahead and take it. I know it's difficult because you're coming here 5 days a week already, mashallah, and you do have a lot of stress of your studies, but most of you are young and single. So really, I don't know what excuse you have. The other option is, inshallah, my niyyah is to go over this material sometime soon, either in the advanced course or in some other program, inshallah, you'll be informed about it. Okay, so let's begin our class. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The signs of the hour pertaining to women. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "There will be in the end of my ummah people who will ride saddles that resemble baggage. They will arrive at the doors of the masajid, and their women will be dressed yet naked." Which women are these? Women of who? People who are coming to the masajid. So these are the so-called religious women, or the wives, the daughters of who? Religious men. That unfortunately, knowledge is there, but it's not being applied. And what is it that is mentioned over here? Their women will be dressed yet naked. On their heads is something that resembles lean camel humps. Something that resembles camel humps on their heads will be. And what is this referring to? The head, basically, the description of the head. That how it will be, not just like a head, but it will have something on top of it that resembles a hump. Curse them, for indeed they are cursed. The Prophet ﷺ said, curse them, for indeed they are cursed. In another hadith, there are two types among the people of hell whom I have not yet seen. The first are people who have whips like the tails of oxen, with which they will beat others. And the second are women who are naked in spite of being dressed. They will be led astray and will lead others astray. They will walk with an enticing gait, and their heads will look like camel humps. These women will not enter paradise. They will not even experience the faintest scent of it, even though the fragrance of paradise can be perceived from such a great distance. So in these ahadith, what is mentioned concerning women? Their clothing, their headdress, their hairstyle basically. And if you think about it, which women are these? The women who go to the masajid, right? As I was reflecting on this, I thought that when is it that a woman can have a big hump behind her head with a hijab only, right? Because if the hijab is not there, then there's so many different ways of wearing your hair, right? Of making your hair. But with the hijab especially, the hump is made. And if somebody's hair is not long enough, then extra things are put inside, like a clip with a big bobble or something on it. Why? To give that hump look. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, curse them, for indeed they are cursed. And this is a very serious matter. Unfortunately, we don't pay much attention to it. We think it's okay, what's the big deal? It's a very big deal. We should never wear our hair in a way that it is showing from the back. It looks like a hump. It should always be, the hair should always be lower, as flat as possible. And if you have to wear your hair high, then what is necessary? That it should be low, meaning it should not be right by the tip of your head from the back, but it should be somewhere low. Okay? Like for example, if you look at my head right now, if I were to put my hair over here, does it look like a hump? Yeah. If I put it here, again, does it look like a hump? And if I go lower, does it look like a hump then? No. Of course, a woman, if she has hair, they are going to show through her hijab. But what is necessary? That they shouldn't reflect through the hijab. They should not reflect through the hijab. So however we are wearing our hair, it's necessary that we remember this. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, curse them, for indeed they are cursed. In another hadith, at the end of time, there will be people who will use this black dye. Who will use what? Black dye. For what? For their hair. Like the crops of doves, meaning the chest of these birds, who will not experience the fragrance of Jannah. So using black dye on hair specifically. In another hadith, before the hour comes, greeting will be exclusive. Trade will become so widespread that a woman will help her husband in business. Family ties will be cut. The giving of false witness will be common, while truthful witnesses will be rare. And writing will be widespread. Now this hadith does not mean that a woman is not allowed to help her husband when it comes to business. This hadith shows that trade will become so widespread that a woman will help her husband in this, meaning this will become something very common. Something very common. And basically, if a woman is helping her husband, if there is one woman, two women, three women, okay. But if 50% or 70% of the women are working, or 80% of the women are working, it shows that the society has changed a lot. So this just shows, this hadith is telling us that how society will change completely. The roles of women will change completely. And we already see that. And then of course, when the roles are changed, then it will have an effect on the entire society. Children will be neglected, marriage will be deferred, children will be avoided, right? So on and so forth. There is many repercussions of this. If a woman has to do this kind of work, it's permissible for her. But if every other woman is doing this, then it shows that the society will change completely. The signs of the hour pertaining to major sins. The Prophet ﷺ said, among the signs of the hour are that knowledge will be taken away, ignorance will be widespread, zina and wine drinking will be widespread. It'll be common. And if someone is not having alcohol, that will be strange. If someone is not committing zina, that would be considered strange. In another hadith, we learned that idol worship also will begin. The Muslims, the people of Islam, the ummah of the Prophet ﷺ, what will they start doing? Idol worship. Back to the days of Jahiliyyah. In another hadith, we learned that 30 liars will come, the Dajjal, and each one of them will claim to be a prophet. And obviously, that in itself is an act of kufr and many major sins it will lead to. In another hadith, we learn, at the end of time, there will be landslides, stones from the sky, and transformation. Meaning, people will be struck by landslides, stones will fall on them from the sky, and people will also transform into animals. Or their appearance will be disfigured. Musical instruments and female singers will become widespread, and alcohol will be permitted. Alcohol will be permitted. These days, at least, if there's something amongst Muslims, it's this dislike for alcohol. Riba even, people consider it to be okay. But when it comes to alcohol, people keep away from it. Right? But what do we see? That the state of the Muslims will decline so much that alcohol will be permitted. It will be considered allowed. In another hadith, riba, zina, and khamr will become widespread. In another hadith, the hour will not come until people commit zina in public like donkeys in the streets. Aisha radhiyallahu anha, when she heard this, she said, this will happen? And the Prophet ﷺ said, yes. The signs of the hour pertaining to people in general. What is going to be the state of people? Righteous will depart and the corrupt will remain. In a hadith in Musnad Ahmad, the hour will not come until Allah takes away the best people on earth and only the worst people will be left. They will not know any good, do any good, and they will not forbid any evil. So they will not command good, do good, and they will also not forbid any evil. In another hadith we learned the Prophet ﷺ was once presented with fresh or dry dates. So a combination of different kind of dates. And all the companions who were with him at that time, they ate from them until nothing remained but the date seeds or those dates which weren't really that good. So the Prophet ﷺ asked, "Do you know what this is?" He said, "The best people will leave, then the next best will leave, until none remains of you except what is like this." And he pointed towards the dates that had no good in them. Has it ever happened that you're having, let's say, grapes or something from a bowl? What is it that you eat first? Those that are good. And what is it that remains behind? Those that are bad. Right? So he said, just like that, good people will leave this world. Slowly and gradually, one after the other. And what will remain? People who are like this. When it comes to their ibadah, when it comes to their iman, when it comes to their akhlaq, this is how they will be. In another hadith, the hour will not be established until Luqa' bin Luqa' are considered the luckiest of people in the world. Luqa' bin Luqa' is basically used for someone who is a nobody. Someone who's a nobody, who's got nothing good to offer. I mean, such people will be considered what? The luckiest people in the world. So the lowly, corrupt people will be considered honorable and fortunate. The standards will change. The standards will change. Like for instance, if there was a person, a couple of years ago even, half a century ago, someone who committed zina, or someone who, you know, didn't have a proper family life, he wasn't considered someone who was very honorable. But these days, who's the cool dude? Right? Who is it that people envy? Such people. In another hadith we learn, there will come to the people years of treachery when the liar will be regarded as honest and the honest man will be regarded as a liar. The traitor will be regarded as faithful and the faithful man will be regarded as a traitor. And the ruwaybidah will decide the affairs of people. It was said, who are the ruwaybidah? The Prophet ﷺ said, vile and base men who control the affairs of the people. Meaning people who have no value, who've got nothing really good to offer, lowly people when it comes to their manners, when it comes to their faith, but these are the people who will control the affairs of their entire country. And unfortunately, if you think about it, in many Muslim countries this is state today. That if you think about the leaders, when it comes to their reputation in general, how is it? But they are the ones who are deciding the affairs of people. If you examine the religious state, the worldly state also, nothing great to offer. But unfortunately, a leader basically represents the people, right? A leader represents the people. So it just shows that this is how the society is going to be in general. In another hadith, the best of people are my generation, then those who follow them. Then after them, a people will come who increase in fatness, loving fatness. Meaning, their main concern will be what? Luxury, enjoyment, satisfaction of desires, even if that means their health is declining. And who will eat so much, so excessively, that this is how they will look, and this is what they will like. That if someone is small or someone is skinny, they're looked down upon. If you think about it, amongst men generally, who is it that's got better looks? The guy who's big, who's muscular, right? Even if he's having like 20 egg yolks and wasting 20 egg whites a day, right? Because he's got to have those muscles, he's got to have that protein, right? Bigger, stronger, this is what the emphasis is on. Children, when it comes to children, what is it that most mothers are worried about? My child is underweight. My child is underweight. What is it that women want? My child should eat. Which is why all the time we're asking children, eat this, eat that. And they keep running away from food. I mean, think about it. If somebody asks you 20 times a day, would you like to eat something? What would you want? Please don't ask me. I've got a stomach, and alhamdulillah, it tells me when I'm hungry, and I can eat. But what happens? Children are forced to eat again and again, and they're force-fed. I remember one sister was mentioning that somebody told her that she force-fed her child, and now her child, when he's grown up, he's not able to stop himself from eating. He's not able to stop himself from eating. He cannot tell when he's full, when he's had enough. So the entire focus is on what? Physical body, physical enjoyment. People who will increase in fatness, loving fatness, giving testimony before they're asked for it. In another hadith, sudden death will be widespread. Sudden death. All of a sudden, this person died because of a heart attack. The signs of the hour pertaining to tribulation and bloodshed. There will be many, many tribulations, earthquakes, wars, conflicts, diseases. And as a result of that, people will suffer a lot. Likewise, we learned that abundant rain will fall, yet the earth will not produce much. From hadith we learn, there will come upon my ummah a time when they will start wishing for Dajjal to appear. The Prophet ﷺ was asked, why, O Messenger of Allah? He said, because of the difficulties and trials they face. So many difficulties, so many trials that people will wish the day of judgment come already, this earth come to an end. And they know that the Dajjal has to come for the Qiyamah to come. So they will start wishing for the Dajjal to appear. In another hadith we learn, which is in Ibn Majah, that لَمْ يَبْقَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا بَلَاءٌ وَفِتْنَةٌ. Nothing will remain of this world except bala and fitna. Test and trial. Only trials. In another hadith, trials will come like hot wind, like gusts of hot wind. مِنْهَا صَغَارُ وَمِنْهَا كِبَارُ. That some of them will be small and others will be big. Meaning small trials and big trials. Every type of trial. There will come upon the people a time when the killer will not know why he killed and the one killed will not know why he was killed. People will not know why they're shooting. When they'll be asked, why did you do that? I was just angry. Why did you do that? I don't know. They won't know why they killed. And those who are killed, even they won't know why they have been killed. The hour will not come until a person kills his neighbor, father, and brother, the closest people. A person will kill them. Unfortunately, this kind of news is very common these days. At the end of time, there will be men with whips like the tails of cattle. They will go out in the morning subject to the wrath of Allah. Why? Because they'll be whipping people, beating them up. And they will come back in the evening subject to His wrath. Meaning in the morning, in the evening, they will whip people, they will beat people up. What does it show? Merciless leaders, zalim leaders. From another hadith, we will know that a person will pass by a grave and he will wish that he was in the grave. He will wish that he was in the grave. What will be the state of the ummah in general? The Prophet ﷺ said, soon the nations will call one another to attack you, as diners call one another to the platter. They will call one another to attack who? The Muslims. So the Muslims will have to face a lot of war and conflict, a lot of difficulty, a lot of opposition. In another hadith, there will be imams after me who will speak and no one will refute them. Meaning who will say things that are clearly wrong, but no one will speak up against them. These days, if at least there is no freedom of speech, still there are people who are voicing their opinions. Yes, they are jailed. Yes, they are not allowed. Their licenses are taken away. But at least there are people who will speak up. Right? In some part of the world. But what do we see here? A time will come when corrupt leaders, they will speak, they will say absolutely wrong things, but no one will refute them. People will just accept. They will just accept. They will rush into the fire like monkeys, like senseless monkeys who don't even know what they're doing. But they will rush into the fire, and the people who accept them and follow them blindly, they will go along with them. If you think about it, in the Quran, what is one of the main things that we learn? Tawheed, right? And that shirk is something that is not acceptable. But unfortunately, there are people who are supposed to be leaders, and what are they calling others to? Shirk. Pure shirk. But is there anyone who dares to speak up against them? No. Blind followers. In another hadith, just before the hour, there will be haraj. The people said, what is haraj? The Prophet ﷺ said, killing. But it will not be that you will kill the mushrikeen. Rather, you will be killing one another until a man will kill his neighbor, his brother, his uncle, his cousin. The people asked, will we be in our senses at that time? The Prophet ﷺ said, reason will have been taken away from the people of that time. Doesn't mean that they will be insane, but that they will not have rushd. They will not have rushd, the ability to distinguish between what is right and what is wrong, what is rectitude and what is misguidance. And the people will be feeble-minded. Most of them will think that they are following something, when in fact they will not be following anything. They will be on pure falsehood. Then there are many unique, unfamiliar things that the Prophet ﷺ spoke about that we don't know of, we cannot fully understand. But the Prophet ﷺ mentioned them. So we believe in that also. In a hadith we learn, it is mentioned in As-Silsilatu Sahihah, وَتَرَوْنَ الْأُمُورَ الْعِظَامَ الَّتِي لَمْ تَكُونُوا تَرَوْنَهَا. You will see great events or great matters, made serious matters that you did not know before, you did not see before. Meaning completely new and unique and unfamiliar things will happen. You'll be amazed by it. For example, with regards to Arabia, the Prophet ﷺ said, until the land of the Arabs becomes gardens and rivers once more. The desert will change into what? Gardens and rivers. Hadith in Muslim. With regards to the moon, Hadith in Sahih al-Jami', the Prophet ﷺ said, the new moon will appear to be bigger. The new moon will appear to be bigger. People will think it's the moon of the second night, whereas in reality it will be the moon of the first night. With regards to communication, the Prophet ﷺ said that animals and inanimate objects will speak to man. In a hadith which is authenticated by Albani, Silsilatu Sahihah, wild animals will speak to people. Wild animals will speak to people. The end of a man's whip will speak to him. So a whip, okay, the end of it will speak to the person. His shoelace and a man's thigh will tell him of what his family did after he left. Now some people said thigh refers to, you know, laps or laptop. It will communicate with the person. Remember I told you that we cannot limit the meaning to one specific incident or object. All right, we understand this at its surface. So basically strange things will happen that were unheard of before. Treasures. In a hadith we learned the Euphrates River will uncover a treasure of gold. A treasure of gold. And the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever is present, let him not take anything from it. Let him not take anything from it. Hadith in Bukhari. Also, earth will spew forth its treasures like columns of gold and silver. Meaning wealth will be widespread everywhere. There'll be more than people can use. More than people can consume. In a hadith which is authenticated by Albani, that people will adorn their houses. They will adorn their houses, decorate their houses. And if you think about it, these days, what is one of the main things that we are concerned about? Decorating our houses. Alright, so these were the minor signs. What about the major signs? The major signs, the Prophet ﷺ said, the signs are like beads next to one another on a string. When the string breaks, they will follow one another. So basically, they will come one after the other until the Day of Judgment will begin. If you think about it so far, whatever signs that we have read about, what do they show? That the state of people will decline a lot. Knowledge will disappear. It will be present, but people will not know. Or even if they will know, they will not act upon it. Right? So we see that people in general, physically, spiritually, they will be declining. Right? Fitna, tribulation will increase. And the height of that tribulation is what? The major signs of the Day of Judgment. The height of that tribulation. Alright? And this will begin with what? With the smoke. Now in many ahadiths where the signs of the Day of Judgment are mentioned, before the Dajjal, smoke is mentioned. Right before the Dajjal, what is mentioned? Smoke. And in the Quran also there is reference to this. In Surah Al-Dukhan, ayah number 10, فَارْتَقِبْ يَوْمَ تَأْتِي السَّمَاءُ بِدُخَانٍ مبين. Then watch for the day when the sky will bring a visible smoke. يغشى الناس, it will cover the people. And if you think about it, when you think about war or conflict or people being killed or even, you know, people consuming a lot, what does that show? That there'll be a lot of pollution, right? Air pollution, bombs, and all of that will lead to what? Smoke. I mean, you see that already. But imagine that this smoke, because it's a major sign of the Day of Judgment, it will be something very different from what people have seen before. Then the next major sign of the Day of Judgment is the coming of Dajjal. Dajjal. In Hadith we learn there will be 30 Dajjal. And what does it refer to? Those 30 Dajjal are who? False prophets. People who will claim to be prophets. This Dajjal that we learn about is the Antichrist, Dajjal. He will not claim prophethood. What will he claim? Lordship. He will claim that he is God. And remember that the Dajjal is a person. Greatest fitna. Greatest source of temptation, tribulation for people. Which is why every prophet of Allah warned his people about the coming of the Dajjal. The Dajjal, we learned that he is a short man. Curly haired. White with a reddish complexion. And his head will be like a huge snake. So, very ugly, scary appearance. Also, we learned that he will be sterile. He will have no children. So, the Dajjal is a person, alright? Not a system, not a force. Rather, what is the Dajjal? A person. Jabir bin Abdullah said, the Prophet ﷺ said that the Dajjal will appear at the end of time, when religion is taken lightly. So, religion will be there, but it will be taken lightly. He will have 40 days in which to travel through the earth. So he will travel at great speed, rapidly, and he will travel throughout the earth. One of these days will be like a year, another will be like a month, a third will be like a week, and the rest will be like normal days. So the length of time will also be different. He will be riding a donkey. The width between its ears will be 40 cubits. And he will say to the people, I am your Lord. He will claim lordship. He is one-eyed, but your Lord is not one-eyed. What does it mean that the Dajjal is one-eyed? That he has one eye in the center of his face? Because randomly you'll see pictures on the internet, the Dajjal has been born. And you'll see a picture of a child with one eye. No, the Dajjal is not going to be born, he's already there. Okay, he's already there. He's a person, he's a man who's already there. And we learn the Prophet ﷺ said, he is one-eyed, but your Lord is not one-eyed. What does this mean? From other ahadith, we learn that the Dajjal is blind in his right eye. So he has two eyes, but his right eye is blind. What is it like? It is like a floating grape. Like a grape. Okay? Imagine, the eye is blind, it's like shrunk, and it's like protruding out. So he's got two eyes, one doesn't work, but the other works. On his forehead will be written the word kafir. And every believer, literate or illiterate, will be able to read it. He will go everywhere except Makkah and Medina, which Allah has forbidden to him. Angels will stand at their gates. Angels will stand at their gates. So the people of Makkah, the people of Medina will be safe. But we know that the Dajjal, when he will come to enter Medina, obviously he will not be able to enter, but Medina will shake, meaning there will be an earthquake. And because of which every person who has hypocrisy in his heart will rush out of Medina. Run out of Medina. And he will go join who? The Dajjal. He will have a mountain of bread, and the people will face hardship, except for those who follow him. So basically, the Dajjal will perform astounding feats that will be a source of great trial for people. He will show them things that are amazing, and as a result, people will fall for it. People will believe him. He will have two rivers, and the Prophet ﷺ said, I know what is in them. He will call one paradise and one hell. Whoever enters the one he calls paradise will find that it is hell, and whoever enters the one he calls hell will find that it is paradise. One hadith we learn that if you hear the Dajjal has appeared, avoid him. Don't go to him. Don't even go to see him. And secondly, whatever the Dajjal says, don't believe in that. Do the exact opposite. If the Dajjal says this is paradise, know that it is hell. If the Dajjal says something is hell, know that it is paradise. Allah will send with him devils who will speak to the people. Meaning, the Dajjal will seek the help of shayateen. He will seek the help of who? Shayateen, obviously. I mean, imagine how happy Iblis will be. Imagine how happy the shayateen will be that people are being led astray and they've got someone like the Dajjal on their side. So, what will happen? He will take the help of shayateen. He will bring a great tribulation. He will issue a command to the sky and it will seem to the people as if it is raining. Then he will appear to kill someone and bring him back to life. After that, he will no longer have this power. Meaning he will do these things only once. It's a fitna. A great fitna. Right? Then he will say, can anybody do something like this except the Lord? So basically he's saying, you don't believe in me? Look what I'm doing. I'm supposed to be God. Who can do this but God? The Muslims will flee to Jabal al-Dukhan in Syria. Exactly like the Prophet ﷺ instructed them. Avoid the Dajjal. They will flee to a mountain in Syria. And the Dajjal will come and besiege them. And remember that the Dajjal will have a great following. He will travel all over the earth, lead people astray like this, impress them. And many people will join him. We learn about thousands of people who will be the soldiers of the Dajjal. Soldiers for him, serving him, following him. So he will bring all of them and besiege the believers. The siege will intensify and they will suffer great hardship. Meaning the Muslims who are entrapped, they will suffer great hardship. And this is where Aisha radhiyallahu anha asked that, what is it that will suffice the Muslims at that time? And she was told, the same that suffices the angels, the dhikr of Allah. Then Isa alayhi salam, the son of Maryam, will descend and will call the people at dawn. O people, what prevented you from coming out to fight this evil liar? Meaning fight him. Now you have to fight him. They will answer, he is a jinn. Meaning we don't have the strength to fight him. Then they will go out and find Isa, son of Maryam. The time for prayer will come and the Muslims will call on Isa alayhi salam to lead the prayer. But he will say, let your imam lead the prayer. And who will be the imam? Mahdi. Their imam will lead them in prayer, Salatul Subh. Then they will go out to fight the Dajjal. And when the liar, meaning the Dajjal, will see Isa alayhi salam, he will dissolve like salt in water. Isa alayhi salam will go to him and kill him. So the Dajjal will first of all dissolve, as Isa alayhi salam will come. And Isa alayhi salam will not just leave him there, he will go and kill the Dajjal. And he will not let anyone who followed him live. Meaning every follower of the Dajjal will also be killed. By who? By Isa alayhi salam, and the Muslims were with him. Another major sign of the Day of Judgment is the coming of Isa alayhi salam, about which we just learned. From another hadith we learn, the Prophet ﷺ said, the prophets are like brothers, they have different mothers, but their religion is one. I am the closest of all people to Isa, the son of Maryam, because there is no other prophet between him and myself. He will come again, and when you see him, you will recognize him. He is of medium height, and his coloring is reddish white. He will be wearing two garments, and his hair will look wet. He will break the cross, kill the pigs, abolish the jizya, and call the people to Islam. During his time, Allah will end every religion and sect other than Islam, and he will destroy the Dajjal. So what will happen? The Dajjal will be killed. And along with the Dajjal, who else will be finished? Every follower of the Dajjal. So who is it that will remain? People on Tawheed, pure Tawheed. So this is when Tawheed will be the religion of the world. There will be no other religion, no other sect. Then peace and security will prevail on earth, so that lions will graze with camels, tigers with cattle, and wolves with sheep. Children will be able to play with snakes without coming to any harm. Isa alayhi salam will remain for 40 years, and then he will die, and the Muslims will pray for him. So basically, when Isa alayhi salam will come, he will establish the religion. And what will happen? There will be no fitna, no sign of fitna. Pure tawheed, pure religion will be dominant everywhere. So much peace and security that even the animals will change. Even they will change. From another hadith we learn that people will have no hatred, no spite. People will sow a seed on a smooth rock and that will also grow into a plant. Then the emergence of Ya'juj Ma'juj, that is also a major sign. In a hadith we learn, after Isa alayhi salam will kill the Dajjal, So basically, in the hadith that we learned that Isa alayhi salam will come with the Muslims, kill the Dajjal, then what will happen? Allah will reveal to him, take my slaves to At-Tur, for I have sent down some creatures of mine which no one shall be able to kill. He said, Allah will dispatch Ya'juj and Ma'juj, and they will be, as Allah said, they swoop down from every mount. So what will happen? Isa alayhi salam will kill the Dajjal. And now the Muslims, just as they have been relieved, what will happen? Ya'juj, Ma'juj will appear. Then what will happen? The Muslims will go At-Tur and hide over there. He said, the first of them, meaning Ya'juj and Ma'juj, pass by the lake of Tibris, drinking what is in it. Meaning they will finish all the water. Then the last of them will pass by it, saying, there was water here at one time. So the whole group of Ya'juj, Ma'juj, the first of them, as they're coming, they will drink from that water. And by the time the last of their group comes, all the water will be gone. They will travel until they reach a mountain at Bayt al-Maqdis. They will say, we have killed whoever was in the earth. So they will basically finish the people of the earth. And the only people who are surviving are who? Those with Isa alayhi salam in the mountain. Come, let us kill whoever is in the skies. They will shoot their arrows into the heavens, so Allah will return their arrows to them red with blood. Fitna. Isa ibn Maryam and his companions will be surrounded until the head of a bull on that day would be better to them than 100 dinar to one of you today. Meaning if they could find anything to eat, they would find it valuable. The Prophet ﷺ said, Isa ﷺ will beseech Allah, as will his companions. He said, so Allah will send a particular disease down upon their necks. On who? Ya'juj and Ma'juj. In the morning they will find that they have all died like the death of a single soul. So Ya'juj and Ma'juj, they will appear, spread great corruption within days. And what will happen? Isa alayhi salam, the Muslims are trapped, and they will beg Allah to relieve them of this difficulty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send a particular disease on Ya'juj Ma'juj. And what will happen? They all will die instantly. Like one person dies, all of them will die. He said, Isa and his companions will come down, and no spot nor handspan can be found except that it is filled with their stench, decay and blood. Rotting bodies of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. Sir Isa alayhi salam will beseech Allah, as will his companions. So Allah will send upon them birds like the necks of bukht camels. They will carry them off and cast them into an abyss. The Muslims will burn their bows, arrows and quivers for 70 years. Just imagine. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he will send upon them a rain which no house of hide nor mud will bear. The earth will be washed. So basically anything on the earth, whether it is a solid structure or a house like a tent, everything will be finished by that rain. Meaning the rain will wash off everything. Wash off everything. So that the earth will be like a mirror. A mirror cleaned up, washed off. I imagine, remember what all was happening before the Dajjal came? So much fitna. When the Dajjal came, the height of fitna. And then, as soon as he was finished, Ya'juj Ma'juj. And then the earth will be washed off. And then it will be said to the earth, bring forth your fruits and return your blessings. So on that day, a whole troop would eat one pomegranate and seek shade under its skin. Milk will be so blessed that a large group of people will be sufficed by one milking of a camel. And that a tribe will be sufficed by one milking of a cow. And that a group will be sufficed by the milking of a sheep. While it is like that. And so what will happen then? Isa alayhi salam is there, and what we learned about Isa alayhi salam, that no religion except Islam will remain, people will be at complete peace, no spite, no hatred, the barakat, you know, blessings will be everywhere, and Isa alayhi salam will stay for 40 years, this will be a time of great peace and security, and the people will flourish. And then what will happen? After some time, and Allahu A'lam after how long, while it is like that, Allah will send a wind which will grab the soul of every believer. So all the pure believers, again, people are being cleansed. You see how quickly people will change? Think about it. Medina shook. All right? All the people who had hypocrisy, out. The pure, with Isa alayhi salam. From those pure, again, after some time, what is happening? They're cleansed again. They're cleansed again. So what will happen? The wind will grab the soul of every believer, leaving the remainder of the people copulating publicly like the copulation of donkeys, meaning committing zina. So imagine, then what will happen? Complete opposite. At the time of Dajjal, great fitna. At the time of Isa alayhi salam, great peace and security. And after that, a great decline. So much so that people will forget, you know, the basic values. Basic values. People will copulate publicly like the copulation of donkeys. Upon them the hour shall begin. And what will be the state of people? The end of Islam, removal of Quran, and the death of good people. After some time, after Isa alayhi salam will come, for some time, there will definitely be a lot of peace, a lot of, you know, people will be upon Tawheed. So much so that the Prophet ﷺ said, Hajj and Umrah will be performed even after the coming of Ya'juj Ma'juj. But then after that, the state of the people will decline so much, that the Prophet ﷺ said, the hour will not be established until there will be no Hajj. Hajj will stop. Imagine, Hajj will stop. People will no longer go for Hajj. And people will return to ignorance. The hour will not occur until Allah, Allah is not said on the earth. The name of Allah will not be mentioned on earth. This is how much people will decline again. In another version we learn, La ilaha illallah will not be said. In another hadith, Islam will wear out as embroidery on a garment wears out. Until no one will know what fasting, prayer, hajj and charity are. This is not from the time of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is from the time of Isa alaihi wasallam. After that, what will happen? It will decline so much that these basic things will be forgotten. The book of Allah will be taken away at night. And not even one ayah of it will be left on earth. And there will be some people left, old men and old women, who will say, we saw our father saying these words, La ilaha illallah, so we say them too. But they will not know what it means. The state will decline so much that the Kaaba will be destroyed. The Quran removed. The name of Allah forgotten. La ilaha illallah forgotten. A man from Habasha with small shins will destroy the Kaaba. The Prophet ﷺ said, take benefit from this house, for indeed it will be raised twice. Twice it will be brought down, meaning people will destroy it, and the third time it will be lifted up. It will be lifted up. So make use of it before the Kaaba is destroyed. What does it mean? Make use of it. If you've done Hajj once, go again. If you've done Umrah once, go again. Because imagine not having the Kaaba anymore. Take benefit from this house. And then what will happen when Islam is completely forgotten? The most wicked, the worst people will be living on earth. And then the time will come when the sun will rise from the west. The hour will not come until the sun rises from the west. When it rises and the people see it, they will all believe. Because they will say, oh yeah, this is what we heard about. But that will be the time when faith will not benefit a person if he did not believe before or did not derive any good from his faith. Meaning if the people believe then, there is no benefit. And then what will happen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send the dabba, the beast, the creature. وَإِذَا وَقَعَ الْقَوْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ أَخْرَجْنَا لَهُمْ دَابَّةً مِّنَ الْأَرْضِ تُكَلِّمُهُمْ. That creature will speak to the people. It will invite them. Do da'wah to them. Because أَنَّ النَّاسَ كَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا لَا يُقِنُونَ. Because now, no more prophet is coming. The Qur'an is gone. The Hajj is finished. The Kaaba is gone. Alright? There's no Muslim ummah doing its job. So what is it that's going to call people to Tawheed? There's nothing left basically. But look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will send the دَابَّةُ الْأَرْضِ to speak to the people. To establish, basically, to establish argument against the people. And then what will happen? The fire that will gather the people. Because people will be dispersed all over the earth, right? In hadith we learn, the last sign is a fire which will emerge from Yemen and drive the people to their place of gathering. Huge fire from which people will run and the fire will run after them. And what will happen? The people will run. The following hadith we learn that the people will go towards the place of Hashr. And what is the place of Hashr? Syria, Asham, is the land of gathering and resurrection. Asham is the land of gathering and resurrection. Hadith in Musnad Ahmad. So all the people will go towards that side. Then the fire will follow them. We learn that people will be urged to gather by the fire, which will accompany them at the time of their afternoon nap. Meaning, if they will stop to take a break, the fire will stop. And then when they will spend the night, again the fire will stop. As they will get up and start running away from the fire will follow them. Until all people who are alive will be where? In Ash-Sham, that area. And then what will happen? The day of judgment will begin. How? If you go on to the lesson that was given to you today, how? With the blowing of the trumpet, with the nafkha. Because we learned that the hour will come upon who? The worst people. People who are far from Tawheed. People who are far from the Haqq. Then what will happen? The trumpet will be blown. How many times? Some scholars said 2 times. Others said 3 times. The first will be the blowing of the trumpet that will cause great fear and panic. Great fear and panic. And the second will be that which will cause the people to die. And remember that the blowing of the trumpet will also begin the day of judgment, in the sense that in the Quran we learn about the sun, the mountains, right? What will happen to them? The rivers, the seas, what will happen to them? They will finish. They will be destroyed. إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ كَدَرَتْ. Right? وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ سُيِّرَتْ وَإِذَا الْعِشَارُ عُطِّلَتْ. All of these things will happen when? When the trumpet will be blown. And eventually, all people will die. All people will die. And then, ثُمَّ نُفِخَ فِيهِ أُخْرَى. Then the trumpet will be blown another time. That another time could mean the second time or the third time. Allahu A'lam. But when it will be blown, then resurrection will begin. In Surah Al-Qamr, ayah 6-8, we learn, فَتَوَلَّ عَنْهُمْ يَوْمَ يَدْعُ الدَّاعِ إِلَى شَيْءٍ نُكُرٍ.
فَتَوَلَّ عَنْهُمْ يَوْمَ يَدْعُ الدَّاعِ إِلَى شَيْءٍ نُكُرٍ خُشَّ عَنْ أَبْصَارُهُمْ يَخْرُجُونَ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ كَأَنَّهُمْ جَرَادٌ مُنْتَشِرٌ مهطعين إلى الداع يقول الكافرون هذا يوم عسير.
So leave them the day the caller calls to something forbidding. Something forbidding. شَيْءٍ نُكُر. People will be petrified because of it. And who is a scholar? The angel that will blow the trumpet. In hadith we learn that the trumpet is like a horn. It is a horn that will be blown into. And the angel Israfil, who is appointed to blow the trumpet, he has the trumpet in his mouth. In his mouth. He's ready to blow it. And he is gazing towards the arsh. He is gazing towards the arsh. His eyes fixed over there, waiting to be ordered. And he doesn't even look away from the arsh for a moment. Why? Out of this fear that he will be instructed and he might miss the instruction. So he's constantly looking towards the arsh, his eyes like 2 glowing stars. Gazing towards the arsh, waiting to be ordered. يَوْمَ يَدْعُ الدَّاعِ إِلَى شَيْءٍ نُكُرٍ. And when the trumpet will be blown the last time, what will happen? خُشَّ عَنْ أَبُصَارُهُمْ. People will come out of their graves. يَخْرُجُونَ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ. Their eyes will be humbled. They will emerge from their graves as if they were locusts spreading, coming out of the earth. From hadith we learn bodies will grow like plants. They will grow like plants, coming out of the earth, rising out of the earth. And so many like locusts. Imagine as the earth is being دُكَّتِ الْأَرْضُ دَكَّاً دَكَّاً. So what is happening? That the people whose bodies have dissolved into the earth, they'll be coming out of the earth as if they were like locusts spreading. But they'll be rushing towards what? مُهْطِعِينَ إِلَى الدَّاعِ. Racing ahead toward the caller. Going toward where the call is, the sound is coming from. يَقُولُ الْكَافِرُونَ هَذَا يَوْمٌ عَسِرٌ. The disbelievers will say, this is a very, very difficult day. And as the people will rise out of their graves, they will rush towards the place of Hashr. All of us. Every single one. In Surah Al-Kahf, Ayah 47, وَيَوْمَ نُسَيِّرُ الْجِبَالَ وَتَرَى الْأَرْضَ بَارِزَةً. And warn of the day when we will remove the mountains and you will see the earth prominent. No part of the earth will be hidden. It will be like a flat, plain bread. Flattened completely. So there will be nothing, no place where people can hide. No place at all. So what will happen? وَحَشَرْنَاهُمْ. And we will gather all of them. فَلَمْ نُغَادِرْ مِنْهُمْ أَحَدًا. And we will not leave behind from them even one person. Every single individual will be brought to Al-Hashr. Believer, non-believer, child, old, even animals. وَإِذَا الْوُحُوشُ حُشِرَتْ. Even the animals will be resurrected and brought in the plane of Hashr. And in the plane of Hashr, people will be divided into groups. What kind of groups? Depending on the actions that they used to perform. Depending on their actions. Al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba. People will rise, they will be resurrected in the state that they died in. So a shaheed will come with blood still flowing from his body, smelling like fragrance, musk. So fragrant. Whatever action a person was doing when he died, that is how he will be raised up. From another hadith we learn that a person will be resurrected in the coffin that he was buried in. In the coffin that he was buried in. So the ulama have said that initially people will be wearing their coffin. And then what will happen? Through the long time of Hashr. From hadith we learn that people will be naked. Right? And also their feet, no shoes, no sandals, nothing at all. Uncircumcised. So the body will be fully resurrected. Even if a part of the body, a small skin, like the skin that is cut off at the time of circumcision, if that was lost in the earth during a person's life on the earth, even that will be made again. That will be made again. So a person will come in his complete whole form. Whole form. But the people will be so afraid that they will not look towards one another. And people will be in different states depending on their actions. Some people will be shaded by Surah Ali Imran, Surah Baqarah. Some people will be under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And other people will be drowning in their sweat because the sun will be brought very, very near. People will be drowning in their sweat. Some people will be trampled by the money that they hoarded, the animals from which they did not give zakat. Others will be punished by the money that they stole, the property that they stole. It will humiliate them. And others will be under the shade of the charity that they gave. A person who is given leadership over 10 people even will be brought on the day of judgment fettered, chained up. And what is it that will let him free? His justice, his fairness. That is what is going to let him free. We think we will be fine at the place of Hashr. The Prophet ﷺ didn't speak about the unjust ruler. This is about a person who has been given authority over Ashara, even 10 individuals. He will be brought fettered. And what is it that's going to release him? His justice. You see, our spiritual condition will be our physical condition that day. Our physical condition. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will arrive. وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ وَالْمَلَكُ صَفًّا صَفًّا. Jannah and Jahannam will be brought. وَجِيءَ يَوْمَئِذٍ بِجَهَنَّمْ. But the judgment will not begin immediately. The people will be in such a terrible state, waiting for 50,000 years, that they will go to Adam alayhi salam. Please ask your Lord to begin the judgment. He will say, I cannot ask him. They will go to Nuh alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, and eventually they will go to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then Shafa'ah Kubra will take place. The Prophet ﷺ will fall in prostration and will say words of praise which are unique that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inspire him with at that time. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask him that ask and you will be responded to. So basically, judgment will then begin. Hisab will begin. ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. The blessings that Allah has given us, he will ask. What did you do with the life that I gave you, with the time that I gave you, with the youth that I blessed you with the money that I gave you, with the knowledge that I gave you? What did you do? And how is it that this hisab will take place? The mawazin, the scales will be established, will be put in place. وَالْوَزْنُ يَوْمَئِذِنِ الْحَقِّ. And this mizan will be so big that it could even weigh the earth inside it, the skies inside it. That the angels, when they will see the mawazin, they will say, Ya Allah, what is it that you're going to weigh in this? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, whatever I wish from my creation. Suhuf will be given. People's books, their records of deeds will be given. Where? Either in the right or in the left. The person who's given his record in the right, he will say, Ha umuqra'u kitabi. Read my book. Everybody read it. Look. And the person who's given it in his left, what will he do? He will put his hand behind his back. But can he avoid it? No. He will be given it wara'a dhahrihi. Fasawfa yad'u thubura. Then the people will be weighed. Their deeds will be weighed. Their words will be weighed. Their records will be weighed. Some people, their deeds will not be weighed. Not weighed at all. Why? Because their good deeds will have no value that day. وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ فَجْعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْسُورًا. Dispersed to dust. Ashes. So with regards to the disbelievers, it is mentioned that their deeds will not be weighed. Why? Because they have nothing to show. It's not acceptable. It will have no value. So they'll be sent straight to hellfire from here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question the believer, bring him close to himself and ask him, did I not give you this? Did you not commit this? And the believer will confess that yes, I did it. I committed this sin. But who will confess at that time? The one who can confess today. The one who can admit today can admit tomorrow. Allah will say to the believer, I concealed your sins and today I will forgive them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will privately do his hisab. But others will be questioned publicly. Publicly humiliated. Those who conceal their sins and the sins of others, who don't publicize disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it is their own or somebody else's, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them that privacy on the Day of Judgment. And the people who are highlighting the faults of others, showing them, humiliating others, then such will face the same end. وَالْوَزْنُ يَوْمَئِذٍ الْحَقِّ. We learn, whoever is questioned, مَنْ نُوقِشَ, whoever is questioned, why you did this? That's it, he's doomed, he's going to hell. So from this point, many will end up in hellfire. And who will remain? Those who have passed their hisab. But will they go straight to Jannah? Not right away. Now they have to cross the bridge. But before they cross the bridge, they will drink from the hawb. From the hawb, the pool of water that the Prophet ﷺ will be gifted. Its source is the river in Jannah, Al-Kawthar. The water of Al-Hawd is what? It is whiter than milk, sweeter than honey, colder than ice. And a person who drinks from it once will never be thirsty again. And the Prophet ﷺ will himself serve the people. He will himself give them water to drink. The cups that are around the Hawd are as many as the stars. As many as the stars in the sky. But as some people will be approaching the Hawd, they will be prevented. The Prophet ﷺ said, these are people of my ummah. And he will be told, you don't know what they invented in their religion after you. So the Prophet ﷺ will say, suhqan, suhqan, get away, get away. Keep away. Don't come near me. So who is it that can drink from the hawd? Those who follow the sunnah. And who is it that will be prevented from the hawd? Those who don't know the sunnah. Those who don't do the sunnah, who don't follow it. Who invented their own ways. The Prophet ﷺ performed actions in a specific way, the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala liked, whether it was eating or drinking or wearing his clothes or traveling. Anything, he did it in a specific way which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala approved of. And where is that way preserved? In the sunnah. But if we don't even know the sunnah, how are we going to follow it? If we haven't even studied the hadith, how do we think that the Prophet ﷺ will give us water to drink from the hawd on the Day of Judgment? We've read so many books, but if we don't read Bukhari, we don't read Riyad al-Salihin, then what have we read? Then how can we think we deserve to be served by the Prophet ﷺ? If we haven't served his sunnah, if we haven't served his mission, if we haven't appreciated the actions that he did, the legacy that he left behind, then how can we benefit from that pure water? People will drink from the hawd, they will approach the sirat, the bridge. The sirat that is over hellfire. That is where? Over hellfire. And by the way, who's crossing the sirat? Those who have passed the test of hisab. Because those who did not pass were sent to hellfire. They will not drink from the hawd, they will go straight to hellfire. But now, from those who are left who are crossing the sirat, which is placed over hellfire, in the Quran we learn, وَإِن مِّنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا. Every single one of you is going to approach it. Some are going to end up in hellfire, and others are going to cross over the bridge. And how is it that people will cross this bridge? With the help of two things, speed and light, because there will be darkness at that time. People will have their own light. نُورُهُمْ يَسْعَى بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَبِأَيْمَانِهِمْ. They will have their own light on their right side and also in front of them. Some people, their light will be like a column, like a pillar. And others, their light will be just at their toe. Just at their toe. And this light will be determined by what? The nur of Iman today. People will cross the bridge at various speeds. Some will cross them in less time than the blink of an eye. Blink your eyes. Imagine. Some people will cross like that. Others will cross it like fast wind. Others will cross it like lightning. Others will cross it running. Others walking. Some crawling. And some, they will barely step on the sirat that they will fall. On the sides of the sirat are hooks emerging from the hellfire. Hooks coming out of the hellfire, attacking people, causing them to fall. And what are these hooks? On one side, amana. On the other side, silah. If a person did not fulfill his amana, the responsibility that he was given, that he was entrusted with, he did not maintain the ties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made for him, then these hooks will emerge and cause him to fall in hellfire. And those who will survive, who will make it to the other side of the bridge, are they entering Jannah right away? No. There is yet another stop. And what is that? Al-Qantara. Another bridge right before Jannah, where mutual disputes between people will be resolved. Before, what was a person questioned about? His duties towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, mutual disputes that people have, hatred, jealousy, despite being good believers, they had problems amongst themselves. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to make them resolve. Because people cannot enter Jannah with grudges. No way. With unclean hearts. No. In Jannah are azwajum mutahara. People are going to be clean hearted. So, وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍّ. Any ghil will be taken away. But how is it that hatred and jealousy and all these feelings will be taken away when we are not willing to let go of them? We hold on to these things today, right? We don't want to forgive. We don't want to let go. We don't want to be okay. But entry into Jannah is not possible until a person will let go. He will forgive. He will free himself. Once he frees himself, then he will enter Jannah. Al-Qantara. And how is it that people will enter into Jannah? The Prophet ﷺ will be the first one to arrive at the gates of Jannah. He will hold the handhold and he will knock on the gate of Jannah. He will intercede. He will do shafa'ah. He will beg Allah so that people are allowed to enter paradise. And what will happen? The Muslim ummah will be the first to enter Jannah. People, all people, will be in 120 rows. 80 rows, 80 queues will be of who? The Muslim ummah. The gates will be opened up. Many gates of Jannah. Some people will be called from one gate, others will be called from more than one gate. And people will enter Jannah together. And then Shafa'ah will take place. For who? For those who have fallen in hellfire. For those who have fallen in hellfire. So the Prophet ﷺ will intercede for them. The angels will intercede. The righteous, the salihin, the shuhada, al-anbiya, all of them will intercede. All of these various people about which we learned they will get to intercede on the Day of Judgment, they will intercede at this point. For who? For those who have fallen in hellfire. That may Allah bring them out. And then, after this shafa'ah is finished, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, أَنَا أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. I am the most merciful of those who show mercy. Yes, there are people who have come out of hellfire because of the requests of others. But I will bring people out of hellfire because I am the most merciful. So Allah will take a handful of people from hellfire and bring them out and admit them to enter Jannah. One of the people who will be taken out, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring people out of hellfire and He will order that they be returned to hellfire. One of those people will say, Ya Allah, I thought that you've taken me out of hellfire and you won't send me into hellfire again. This is what I thought. This is what I was hopeful for. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, so we will not send you back into hellfire. And that person will be admitted into Jannah. And then, when the last person who's supposed to enter Jannah is in Jannah, and the person who's supposed to be in hellfire is in hellfire, people are in their eternal destinations. Death will die. Death will be slaughtered. How? Death will be brought in the form of a black ram, and it will be slaughtered. So people of Jannah remain in Jannah forever, and people in hellfire remain in hellfire forever. Nothing will change after that. So what is it that we have to do now? What are some of the things that we must remember? First of all, do not consider the hour to be far. Don't think the Day of Judgment is far. Don't think death is far. Once a man asked the Prophet ﷺ, when will the hour be? And the Prophet ﷺ looked at a young boy in the gathering, and he said, if this child grows up to be old, your Qiyamah will come before that. Meaning, you will die for sure before the Day of Judgment comes. Either the Day of Judgment will come or you will die. It's inevitable. It's coming. So, badiru bil a'mal. Rush to do something good. Rush to do something good. Do it already. Don't delay. Seek Allah's protection from the fitna, from the trials before the Day of Judgment, and also the trials of the Day of Judgment. The Prophet ﷺ regularly sought Allah's protection. Min fitnatil Masih al-Dajjal, min fitnat al-Mahya wal-Mamat, min fitnat al-Adab al-Qabr. Pass on this knowledge, spread awareness, because this is a reality that every single human being is going to face. Guard the prayer, because the prayer is what will help a person once he dies and also in times of difficulty. Hold on to the truth and avoid lies and liars. The Prophet ﷺ said 30 liars will come. So, فَحْذَرُوهُمْ. So, be cautious of them. Avoid them. And also avoid fitna. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever hears of the Dajjal, let him keep away from him. For by Allah, a man will come to him thinking himself to be a believer. And then he will follow him because of the doubts that he stirs up. So, keep away from fitna. Avoid it. The Prophet ﷺ said, towards the end of time, the best wealth that a person will own is what? It will be goats and sheep. Why? He will be living in the mountains, making his animals graze in the valleys, and that will be the best wealth that he will possess. Why is he hiding there? To keep his faith. To maintain his faith. Your iman is the most valuable thing that you have. The most valuable thing. Don't put yourself in fitna. Don't put yourself in situations where you know your faith will decline. I'm sure many of you are worried right now. We're at Al Huda, we're in a bubble, right? As soon as we will exit this bubble, what's going to happen? You know who survives? Those who stay with the Qur'an. Those who avoid fitna. Those who keep away from places, from people who will cause their iman to decline. Your iman is the most precious thing that you have. And I've seen it. Many people, They read the Qur'an, they study the Qur'an, they start their hijab. And then what happens? Gone. Why? Because iman was not valued. If you realize what you have is most precious and people are out there to destroy it, to ruin it, what are you going to do? You're going to go hide with it. So it doesn't matter what you have to do. Your iman is the most precious because the journey of the hereafter is very, very difficult. Over there, your hair is not going to help you. Your makeup is not going to help you. Your friends are not going to help you. Your family is not going to help you. What is it that will help? Your iman. It is more valuable than the entire earth's fill in gold. Avoid fitna, preserve your faith. Fulfill your duties towards Allah and ask your rights from who? From Allah. If people don't give you your rights because of all this fitna, don't get into that fitna. Ask Allah. Act upon the knowledge. Act upon their ilm. And avoid politics in the sense that when the Prophet ﷺ warned us about the last days, he mentioned that there will be such leaders appointed over you who will draw evil people close to themselves and will delay the prayers from their proper times. So whoever among you finds their time, then do not be for them a sergeant, an officer, a tax collector, nor a treasurer. Meaning, if there are corrupt people working somewhere, don't cooperate with them. Don't work for them. Work against them, but don't work for them. And hold on to the Qur'an and Sunnah. The Prophet ﷺ said, there will be great fitna after you. The Sahaba asked, what do you order us? He said, you return to your initial affair. Meaning, go back to Qur'an and Sunnah. And take benefit from the house of Allah. Take benefit from the house of Allah. Go there and beg Allah to help you strengthen your faith. Hold on to your iman. Have yaqeen. Have certainty. Act upon the knowledge that you have learned. Keep going back to the house of Allah. And with this we end. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this study of ours. And if there's any mistake that we have made in any way or form, may Allah forgive us and pardon us for that. And may this knowledge be beneficial and a source of light and guidance for the rest of our lives. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته